just see Jesus in the nativity. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them. At Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. With these words, the Gospel of Luke sets the stage for the most iconic Christmas scene of all time, the Nativity. Have you ever stopped to think about each character? That each character not only reminds us of their own story, but also helps to point us to Jesus. Let's look closer at the Magi, the shepherds, Joseph and Mary, and see just how we can see Jesus in the Nativity. Like the Magi, Jesus made a long journey bringing precious gifts. It's been estimated that the Magi may have traveled up to 900 miles to bring the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. While that is a long journey, it pales in comparison to Jesus' journey to bring the gift of God's love. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. The opening lines of the Gospel of John explain that Jesus was with the Heavenly Father and their Holy Spirit in heaven when the earth was created. Our understanding of this journey to become flesh is that Jesus left the glory of heaven, put on a human suit, and was born in a manger to bring us a gift. And what is that gift? John goes on to say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The gift Jesus was bringing was in fact Himself. Jesus made the longest journey to bring the greatest gift. When we look at the Magi with their treasures, we can remember the journey that Jesus made and the gift of love that He brought to us. Like the shepherds, Jesus proclaims the good news for everyone. When we see the shepherds in the Nativity, we know that they are between two sharings of the good news. The angels have just told them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people." And as we read in Luke, they are going to leave the manger and share the word concerning what had been told them about this child. We don't generally think of Jesus as a preacher, but He says about Himself that I must proclaim the good news. That's why Jesus made that long journey. He came not to judge people or to make sure they follow the rules. He came as a gift and shared the good news that God loves Him. Like Joseph, Jesus chooses mercy over the law. Joseph may be the most overlooked character in the Nativity. There he stands over the manger, watching Mary and baby Jesus. The Gospels won't tell us anything about Joseph past Luke chapter 2. However, what we read about him prior to that is pretty amazing. Joseph was a righteous man, a good man. He was also a man who chose mercy over the law. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that Joseph had plans to quietly divorce Mary because she was pregnant with somebody else's baby before they were married. The quietly part speaks to Joseph's character. in and of itself. However, heaven would intervene and Joseph would choose to keep Mary as his wife and raise the child as his own. This is an act of obedience for sure, but others would also see it as an act of mercy. Jesus would grow up and love mercy. On one occasion, speaking to a Pharisee, Jesus said, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call the righteous. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew 9:13. If grace is getting what you don't deserve, mercy is getting what you do, not getting what you do deserve. Jesus is the ultimate man of mercy. He would show it. He would teach it throughout his time on this planet. One of the last things Jesus would say as he was sacrificed on the cross, giving his life for us, was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Father, show them mercy." Yes, Jesus would make a long journey to share the good news of the gift of God's love and teach the world what mercy looked like. And like Mary, Jesus chose God's will over his own. Before the Magi began their journey, before the shepherds could share the good news, before Joseph could show mercy, Mary had to say yes. We read in Luke chapter 1, Mary saying, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to thy word." The angel tells her God has chosen her to have his son. None of it makes sense to her, but she says in essence, "Not my will, but yours be done." That baby of hers would grow up and say the very same thing in the garden the night before his death. We read in John 6:38, Jesus saying, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus understood God's will over his own long before he would pray that in the garden. His earthly ministry was all about doing God's word. In the garden, he said, "If there be any other way, Father, yet not my will, but yours be done." But even before that, he said that he came not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. Choosing God's will over his own was a sign that Jesus knew he was on a mission. This trip to earth from heaven to deliver the good news that God loves and has mercy was not a vocation, it was a mission. Like Jesus, we can do all these things too. No doubt the most important person in the Nativity is the baby Jesus. He's the gift, the good news, the mercy found in a manger, and God's good and perfect will for all of us. While we can and should see all those things when we look at the little baby, we can also remember the words of the grown-up Jesus. "Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father." John 14, verse 12. However, it doesn't mean that we too can make the journey short or long to bring gifts to those in need. We can cross the street to provide a gift to help a neighbor in need. We can cross the city to deliver a gift of support to someone this Christmas season who's down on their luck or needs a little support. We can walk across the hall and give the gift of love to a family member. And even now, we can see someone across the aisle who could use a gift of encouragement or love or forgiveness. It means that we can share the good news that God loves. It means that mercy is not something to be hoarded, but to be shared. And it means that we have the ability to choose God's will over our own. Tonight, we light the center candle, the Christ candle. We've been lighting one candle a week during Advent. We've talked about joy and love and hope and faith. And tonight it's the Christ candle. And I believe there's really only four words left to say about the Christmas story. And those four words are, God is with us. And that's really the Christmas story. God is with us. God in His perfect plan chose to take on human form in Jesus, live a life, but live the life that we can't live, a life of perfection, die the death that we deserve and conquer death and rise again. And all of us who will hook up to Him and join Him will experience that same resurrection ultimately. The Christmas story is that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us in our pain and our sorrow. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. He understands completely. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be lied about. He knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus understands completely. But the Christmas story is really just the beginning of God's heart, His story. Because Jesus was born as a baby, came to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us. But He grew up and He experienced life. Life as a toddler, life as an adolescent, and life as an adult. But God's heart ultimately wasn't that the Christmas story would just end with God coming and living here for a little while on earth. The ultimate story is that Jesus would live the life that we want to live but can't, die the death that we deserve, and provide eternal life. You see, God's ultimate heart isn't to be just Emmanuel, God with us. God's ultimate heart is that He would be God within us. See, what Christ has done can change your story from you and God to you and God. And Jesus said it like this. Looking at His disciples, He said, "It's good for you that I leave." They were very grieved that He kept talking about His impending death. And Jesus said, "It's actually good for you that I leave. For if I leave, I will send another comforter, a helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. He will be with you and He will be in you." And that's why Jesus would say, or John would say, that Jesus came to His own people, but His own people didn't receive Him. But to anyone who does receive Him, Jesus gives them the right to become children of God. Children not born of a husband's will or of human desire, but born of God. So the Christmas story ultimately is that God came to earth. God is with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And through what He did in His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, He can be more than just Emmanuel. He can be God within you. And it's our prayer that that's the reality of your life. And so tonight we just ask you to consider whether you've truly received the ultimate Christmas gift. See, the gift of eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. If you've never opened that Christmas gift, it's a simple process. Just turning from yourself and your sin and receiving Jesus into your life. We pray that if you've never done that, you could do that even tonight as I close in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank You for this life, for the enjoyment of life, but we thank You ultimately for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, I ask that You would impress upon each one of us the ultimate opportunity and need and reality of receiving the greatest Christmas gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God, we know it's not about going to church or trying to be good or doing things to stay in your favor or gain your favor. It's about who's your daddy. It's about connecting with you through Jesus. So God, we thank you for Christmas and how it really proclaims that reality and that message. And help us to do that. Help us to live out this life through your Spirit, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.